Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's 5 o'clock hour with Rob and Souk. Tuesday, very special Tuesday show.
What is special about it exactly?
I have a special performance that I'm doing today.
Oh. You're going to be performing your cycle a little bit later on?
I'm sorry, what?
Your one-man play? Your cycle?
If you're lucky.
All right. Fingers crossed.
We're hanging out here talking some sports with you.
Live from the closet.
Yeah, we're in a makeshift studio today again.
It feels, it's a different vibe in here. I'm not going to say that it's a bad one, but it's strange.
It's awkward.
It is.
I kind of like it.
Do you?
I do.
You like the solitude of it? It doesn't feel like we're doing real radio, but then again, maybe we never do real radio. It just, it's strange. It's an odd, constrictive sort of feeling I've got going on in here. Feels weird to be back in the clouds that I've been out for so many years.
So they're doing some upgrading to our real studios.
You're real modeling the USS Enterprise in there. The
I think
flagship.
You mean remodel.
What did I say?
You said real model.
Did I say remodel?
It's confusing for the people.
Well, maybe they are real modeling it. I don't know.
So they're doing some stuff in there, putting in some new equipment, some cool stuff. That'll make sports talk even better here in town.
Hot chicks room right next door to it.
Sports.
You know, it's going to be great.
So when they're done with that, Lord knows. In the meantime, we'll be in this little kind of side studio.
A cove, if you will.
Down the hall. Hey, coming up this hour, we will discuss how bad Yasmani Grandal sucks.
Yeah, it's a series for the ages.
I do have today in Blazers overhype, although that could maybe wait.
Like in,
hello.
Are you talking about in respect, out of respect?
Well, we don't have to. Oh, it's okay. Just today in Blazers overhype.
I like today in Blazers overhype.
I told you I would be monitoring that situation, and I have found some.
Yeah, I just feel like that's not a day-to-day monitor. Like you're not watching, you're keeping an eye out for Blazers overhype. Because I feel like me and Mike have pointed out you've missed some Blazers overhype.
Well, bring it to the table then.
You really have. Why is it our job?
Because you're host of the show.
To bring you Blazers overhype.
I do everything for you.
You're the one that said that you were going to be keeping an eye out for it.
You owe me.
Now it falls upon me and Mike.
You did say that, Rob.
Yeah.
Shut up.
You didn't spread the wealth here and say that we would be watching for Blazers overhype. You said you would be watching for it.
I do have today
and
in Blazers overhype.
A daily segment as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to commit to that anymore, but I will say I do have one for today if you guys want it. You know what else we have?
Slowly backpedaling right now.
We have Bill Self and Rick Pitino text messages.
Yes, we do.
That we need to discuss.
Yeah, Kansas came up yet again today, along with Zion Williams in the fraud trial.
Well, Oregon is back in the mix. So if you didn't hear that.
Hey, as long as everyone misremembers and... It's so long ago.
Wait to hear Coach K's self-righteousness on the issue.
I heard what Coach K had to say.
God.
Yeah, it's not a real thing. That'll be fine.
Maybe a little more on the death of Paul Allen as well coming up. In the club from 6 to 7, I have fun facts.
Ooh, I like fun facts.
Sears news.
Sears?
Yeah, well, you know they're closing up.
That store exists? Oh.
When's the last time you went to Sears?
Ooh. Gosh.
1998.
Physically went?
Yes.
I think it's probably been within the last 10 years.
Has it?
Yeah.
I bought a shovel from there. I want to say...
to bury your deads?
Well, clearly. I want to say about 9 years ago, I bought a shovel from Sears, and I think that's the last thing that I've purchased from there. But I often walk through the Sears, like if I go to the Vancouver Mall, like where the movie theater is, like Cinetopia, I often walk through the Sears and I see that they have many goods and wares for sale, but I never think about stopping, ever.
You would think that Sears would be able to stay in business just off of that.
Yeah, people walking through
because you have to.
Yeah, I walk through
to get to the real stores.
I walk through all the time, and I'm like, hey, there's Sears. And here's
okay,
the thing.
I'll take that necklace.
Sears has things that like I wear Levi's jeans.
Oh, those
jeans.
Are nice shoes. I'll have two.
And I walk by the Levi's section of Sears, and I never think to myself, I should buy pants here. Why? Because it's Sears.
Sears is only, in my opinion, Sears does pop up in my radar, but only with one item.
Shovels?
Refrigerators.
No, but I would say it may be two items now that you mention that.
Because to me, it's always been appliances. Yeah,
appliances and power tools.
Oh, I can't see you buying. When's the last time you bought a power tool?
Well, I don't. But if I needed.
1998.
I was going to say, if you did, I don't see you being like, hey, you know, honey, my cordless drill needs a new chuck and bit. Let's go down to Sears. You're not doing that.
Well, can I also ask, why did you choose Sears to buy the shovel?
I think I was walking through a Sears and like I saw a rack of shovels and I was like, oh, I need a shovel. And I bought it. I think it was an impulse shovel purchase. And by the way, that shovel broke like 2 weeks later.
Shocking.
And Sears replaced it for me.
You know, Sears, well, there was something on social media that I thought was great regarding Sears, and I want to share it with you, okay?
Okay. Hot Sears talk.
Hot Sears talk. That'll be in the club 6 to 7. I think right now, though, we should slide into the Hot 5 at 5 hot tub.
Probably.
Hot topics. Hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
Refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Download the reward app and start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences, game tickets, and rewards.
By the way, people calling you out saying, Sukanik telling everyone to look away from driving, to look at people who are not watching while driving.
How hard is it to look from side to side, people? You all right? You've been drinking over there?
Oh, I just had to burp.
I'm not saying that you take
my mac and cheese.
I'm not saying you take your eyes off the road and stare at someone, but you can glance in a mirror. You can look left to right. Come on, people. Multitask.
Number five.
All right, it's official. Stud defensive end Nick Bosa will not return for #2 Ohio State.
Yeah, I'm sure college football purists are going to handle this really well.
He's dropped out of school and will focus on rehab of that injured core muscle. Of course, Mel Kiper has him #1 overall as an NFL prospect on his stupid big board thingy that he does.
Urban Meyer said he was disappointed, but that he understood why. This is interesting because they said that he was going to be reevaluated in November and that at some point he was probably going to be able to come back and play, especially, you know, if you consider that if Ohio State got as far as the college football playoff, he would be fine to go in late December. But he's going to give all that up and is going to go work with professionals and try to rehab. And so this is kind of a bit of a unique case. And anyone giving him a hard time, please. It's the most ridiculous thing in the world. We're going to get college football purists are going to freak out about this and call him selfish and all kinds of these things. The guy's going to be a top 3 pick in the NFL. Good for him for actually looking after his own health and well-being.
All right, the Portland Trail Blazers have issued the following statements in response to the passing of team owner Paul Allen. From CEO Chris McGowan, I was fortunate to work with Paul Allen for the last 6 years, get to know him and witness all the passion he put into making the world a better place. He was an amazing mentor and a great leader for our organization. He truly loved the Trailblazers franchise, our city, our players, coaches, and employees. We are deeply saddened by his loss, and the thoughts of Rip City are with his family. And then from Trailblazers President of Basketball Operations, Neil Olshabro. It was an honor and a privilege to know and work for Paul Allen these past 6 years. He was a man of unparalleled passion, creativity, and vision that expected those with whom he surrounded himself to strive for the same standards of excellence he held himself to. I will miss his leadership in finding solutions to our challenges and am deeply saddened we will no longer be able to share the joys of our successes. My heartfelt condolences go out to the entire Allen family and all that knew and loved him.
They said that McGowan will represent the Blazers at any sort of NBA owners function and whatnot for the foreseeable future until they figure out what they want to do.
And believe it or don't, two very strong NBA regular season playoff games.
Ooh.
Regular season games.
That's
tonight.
A first.
Sixers visit the Celtics and the Thunder are at the Warriors. Russell Westbrook is out due to offseason arthroscopic knee surgery. The Blazers open Thursday against LeBron and the Lakers.
Do you care at all, even remotely, about either one of these games tonight?
No. No. I've got baseball on my mind. One thing at a time. I'm an old. I can only handle so much.
Well, that isn't, like, especially with Golden State. Like, I get maybe you want to see Boston at full strength. I mean, Oklahoma City's not. But, you know, Boston, you know, Philadelphia, that. But at Golden State, you know what Golden State is. Maybe when Boogie Cousins comes back after Christmas, that's mildly intriguing. But all you care about is whether or not Golden State's going to repeat again, and the regular season means nothing.
MLB Championship Series action today. Astros Red Sox ALCS tied 1-1. They are in progress in Houston, and it is the top of the eighth. And right now, Boston leads 3-2 over the Astros. Brewers lead the Dodgers 2-1 in the NLCS, and Game 4 is tonight. With Gio Gonzalez going against Rich Hill.
Have you seen the report that the Astros got caught cheating in game one at Fenway?
You know what I have? I just read that, and I think what we should do is, in our next segment, which is just a few minutes away, we're going to detail that for the people.
Yeah, apparently they got caught red-handed doing something.
NFL items. Bills say if quarterback Josh Allen can't go Sunday in Indianapolis, they may go with former Beaver Derek Anderson as starter.
Oh,
rumors the... I'm sorry, what?
There's DA.
There he is, yeah. He signed. He actually signed with the Bills about 8 days ago under the radar. He's 35 now, and he hasn't started a game in over 2 years. The rumors out of Buffalo are that the locker room would not support Nathan Peterman starting, yeah, which is a stunner.
The Jay Peterman catalog might be the biggest disaster ever for a guy that keeps getting opportunities to try to start in the NFL.
Falcons have likely lost running back Devontae Freeman for the season, although there is a chance he returns in December. He has a groin injury. He's been placed on injured reserve. Le'Veon Bell still not back for the Steelers. Today, the Niners signed quarterback Tom Savage for some reason. Can you name the Niners' other quarterback besides Beathard?
Number one. No, I can't.
Nick Mullins.
No idea who that is.
Not to be confused with Oregon AD Rob Mullins.
Where the hell is Nick Mullins from?
Undrafted free agent. No idea. And number one Oregon offensive lineman Penei Sewell is out 6 weeks due to a high ankle sprain. 6 weeks from today would be the week after the Civil War. Of course, this is a big blow, even though he's just a freshman. Pro Football Focus ranked him the number six tackle in the nation through six starts.
Dude has been an absolute stud.
In brighter news, Dallas Wormack is back. And he was practicing today. He's ready to roll for the Cougs game.
Yeah, it's a tough one coming up. In fact, you know, I made the point earlier that even though Washington is a better team than Washington State, I think this is going to be style-wise a bigger challenge for Oregon. Because if you look at some of the people that have given Oregon problems along the defensive front, it's the smaller lines that shift and stunt and stem. That's what Washington State does. And then if Oregon does have a weakness on defense, it's the back half and that secondary and the depth of it. And Washington State going five wide, going to force you to play nickel. So from a style standpoint and being on the road after a big week, I think it's a real tough game for Oregon.
Hot 5 at 5, refreshed by Frostbrewed Coors Light. Download Coors Light's new rewards app and start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences and game tickets. Text message news regarding the college basketball scandal. But up next, let's get to the baseball stuff.
Yes.
Some juicy cheating going on, apparently.
Some juicy cheating, and I want you to outline what has been the...
oh, my God.
Maybe the worst series in postseason history.
Yasmani Grandal.
Yep.
So we'll get to those items. When we return, it's 5:17 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, a few baseball items for your baseball brains. One is a little late breaking. Major League Baseball has actually come out and said that they have acknowledged this. Originally reported by Metro News.
Not familiar with Metro News, but guessing that they deliver high quality Metro News.
In the third inning of the first game of the series between the Astros and Red Sox, ALCS, security removed a man claiming to be an Astros employee from the media credentialed area next to the Red Sox dugout, according to multiple security sources who were on the scene at the time of the incident. The man had a small camera and was texting frequently, but did not have a media credential. After the man was removed, another Astros staffer intervened, according to sources who were on the scene, and tried to convince security that he was authorized to be in the area next to the dugout. The man was not allowed back into the credentialed area, but was allowed to remain in the ballpark.
And supposedly they were tipped off. They're not. They don't know who tipped them off, but they're saying that the Red Sox were tipped off about this because of some shady things that were going on during the Indian series. And so who tipped them off? We don't know. Did Major League Baseball tip them off? Did the Cleveland Indians? We don't know, but they were tipped off to this and we're on the lookout for it. And I just saw a tweet from a writer in Boston. He works for WEEI, does a podcast there, and I guess writes for the Boston Globe. And he said, just talked to a major league executive who said, quote, this is a big story. And we do not feel that this is an isolated incident.
Oh, boy.
So this may be, we may be talking Spygate type stuff with the New England Patriots.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, clearly this goes back at least as far as the Indian series.
That seems so blatant. Like a guy standing there as an Astros employee with a little camera right next to the dugout, I mean, and then texting a lot.
Yeah, you wonder, like, what kind of camera, though? And was he dressed as an employee, or was he just, I don't know, was he posing as a reporter? Was he posing as a fan? I mean, who knows?
Well, no, he told them he was an Astros employee.
I know, but that was when he was confronted. But is he?
Yeah, but he was filming the Red Sox, meaning he basically came clean. Why would you say you're an Astros employee?
I don't know.
Right? Like, if you're trying to cover something up, you would say, well, I'm just a fan. Or I'm a, you know, I cover the team for this, because he was in a media credentialed area.
Yeah.
So, you know, he didn't have a fake media credential, but he didn't have a media credential.
No, it's just, it's
so it's a weird deal.
It is, but they're supposedly, according to this guy, Major League Baseball is saying this could be a big deal, and they don't believe that this is a one-off thing.
Stupid Astros, I knew it.
And so the Red Sox said that...
I called this from day one, they were cheating. There's no way they're that good.
The Red Sox said that this is a Major League Baseball matter. They're the ones investigating it, and so the Red Sox will not be commenting on it.
Now, is it ironic that it's the people in Boston and the Boston team that is complaining of this? Because aren't they...
Yeah, they've been
cheaters themselves.
Their hand has been caught in the cookie jar more than a few times there in New England.
And is stealing signs in baseball really that big of a deal?
It is if you've got a camera and you're texting. You can't be in the dugout filming things and then
relaying text messages. Well, right, but that wasn't my question. My question is, how is that a big deal?
Yes.
And the Blue Jays have been accused of doing this from the rooms from Skydome for years.
Yeah. Look, if you're in the postseason and you got caught with a guy recording things near the dugout or, I don't know, just relaying messages via text, yes, I do think that is a big deal, and I think Major League Baseball would drop the hammer on the Astros.
They should probably give the championship to the Mariners then.
Jackie Bradley Jr. just did the same. He had a grand slam.
Oh, in your face, yeah. Astros.
Done. Well, see, now they're not allowed to cheat anymore.
Well, and that was big.
And look what's happening.
Wait, so the Red Sox were just up 3-2, and now it's 7-2?
Yeah, it was bases loaded. Ozuna hit Moreland to walk in a run, or I guess hit in a run, and then Bradley hit a grand slam.
Jackie Bradley, the one guy for the Red Sox who kind of sucks.
He's kind of, sort of.
But yet, J.D. Martinez went to him and said, I found a problem in your swing. And since then, he's been actually pretty good.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Bradley, I'm looking at his numbers here.
Yeah, because the Astros lineup is ridiculous. When you look up and down their numbers.
Well, he plays for the Red Sox, though.
Or what did I say?
You said Astros.
No, I'm sorry. You look up the Red Sox numbers. It's ridiculous, 1-9.
Jackie Bradley had a pretty decent year in 16.
Mm-hmm.
267 with 26 bombs.
What did he hit this year?
234. In his first 2 years, he hit 189 and 198.
So he'd be hitting cleanup for the Seattle Mariners.
He was hitting under 200 for most of this season.
Yeah,
until that J.D. Martinez thing happened.
Good glove, though. I mean, he's got a glove.
It makes me happy that it's off of Ozuna, though, because that dude. Have you seen, too, that he's going down the I've been vindicated road?
Why?
Yeah.
Why has he been vindicated?
Well, basically, they did the no contest sort of thing. Like, he pled out, and the woman that he beat, his ex-wife or girlfriend, isn't going to testify against him.
Yeah, Osuna is the closer for the Astros that the Blue Jays dumped because of domestic abuse.
Yeah, and now he's doing the whole, I told you I couldn't comment on it, but I told you I've done nothing. He's doing the I've done nothing wrong, the I'm vindicated in this whole thing. Guy is a piece of garbage.
So, okay, here's the Yasmani Grandal thing.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you. He sucks.
He's the catcher for the Dodgers.
He's horrible. He's having a horrible, horrible, horrible NLCS. And he's really been crappy since he got off to a really hot start for them. But at least with his bat, he's been crappy since like July. And he's not a very good catcher in the sense that he's second. The only guy who has more pass balls the last couple of years in baseball is Gary Sanchez.
Did he have two of them in game one?
So here is Yasmani Grandal's series so far against the Brewers. He had two errors and two pass balls in the first three innings of game one. And I would like to point out that two errors and two pass balls by a catcher had never happened ever in the history of Major League Baseball postseasons.
And he did it in the first three innings.
Two errors, two separate pass balls.
And by the way, they ended up losing that game by one run.
So then they bench his ass because one of the errors was like, dude, his head was firmly supplanted in his ass. Seriously, it's just like relay throws home. He can't even catch them. Yeah. It's like, what? Wake up, dude.
Well, yeah, the catcher interference, too.
So, and he did have catcher interference. So he pinch hits with the bases loaded in game two, and their team is down one, double play.
The legend grows.
Game three, he's back in there. He misses a key wild pitch that of Walker Buehler. It was ruled a wild pitch, but he missed it, and had another pass ball.
What is he hitting in the series too?
Well, I don't know what he's hitting in the series, but Grandal in his career has 68 postseason at bats. Mm-hmm. He has 7 hits and 30 strikeouts. He's horrible.
Holy Lord.
So tonight he's been benched. Austin Barnes is starting in his place. Now last night, and this is in LA, the LA fans were merciless.
Just booing him.
Booing him. And of course, Kiki Hernandez came out and was like, shut up. You know, you try getting back there. Which I always hated when athletes say that. You know, you shut up. Yeah. Do your effing job. Stop. Or fans who pay a bunch of money to come see you play can boo you.
Stop.
Get a thicker skin.
Stop having pass balls and catcher interference.
The other thing that happened in that game last night, I don't know if you saw this, but Jeffress, the closer for the Brewers, who's a little shaky right now, or one of the bullpen guys for the Brewers, he's a little shaky, so they put him in, and the score was 4-0, and Council put him in there to kind of get him right. He had a 4-run cushion. It's like, okay, this guy needs to get right. We need him.
Yeah.
He's one of their key bullpen guys.
Because the rest of the bullpen has been lights out, and the back end of it, he has been, like you said, a little shaky.
Yeah, he's been struggling, so they put him in there, and the first two guys get on, and they're on second and third, and he's facing Yasiel Puig, and he walks him. Puig stared him down on a walk.
What?
By the way, a walk with first base open.
and he
stared him down. Ball four, Puig drops the bat, stares him down.
All right.
Seen that ever in my life.
Is there a history there?
No, it's just Puig.
Just, all right.
That's Puig.
Puig has been doing strange things the whole playoffs.
He is the weirdest dude.
He stole a base or tried to on the catcher's throw back to the pitcher.
I saw that, and he got thrown out by like a mile.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like he got a great jump or caught anyone off guard.
And he was just laughing when he got caught.
Yeah, he thought it was great. He was like giggling. Yeah, that was. I saw that when he got thrown out. Like as he's starting to throw the ball back to the catcher, he just takes off. Didn't have a great lead or anything, just started running.
So they asked Jeffress about it, and he was cool about it. He was like, yeah, that's just Puig being Puig, but most of the they're going to dot Puig next year. Like,
wait until either that or if there's a big lead here and it doesn't matter, one between the sixes.
Maybe, because
I don't know if I'd want to hit Puig for fear that he would come out and rip my arms off.
A walk.
I don't think I've ever seen anyone.
He like did a bat flip on a walk.
Was it like a celebratory thing, or was it like a how dare you not give me something to hit thing?
No, I don't know. It was just Puig. He was just, I mean, who stares down? I mean, what?
like staring someone down on a free throw?
He's an idiot. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I just dropped that free throw on your ass,
just glaring at someone? Yeah.
Well, anyway, the Dodgers look crappy, quite frankly. If you're watching them at all, they seem discombobulated. I thought maybe the Justin Turner's home run in game two would spark them, but they came out flat as a pancake last night. So Lord knows what you're going to get for them. But I did predict this earlier in the show, and I will re-predict it. This is a double prediction. Rich Hill will throw a one-hit shutout with 12 strikeouts tonight.
I would also like to point out that Isaac Robb does have a large sum of money riding on the Los Angeles Dodgers to win the World Series, so take his prediction for what it's worth.
Well, I don't have a large sum of money riding on it, but I do have a large sum of money that I win if I...
That's true.
If they win. Yes. I didn't bet that much.
No, you did not. But I still feel like people need to know that. With a little some background information.
Rich Hill's coming up big tonight, baby.
Tie this thing up.
For my Dodgers.
Rich Hill goes two innings, gives us six runs.
Well, we'll see. Is that your prediction? I don't hear a prediction out of you guys.
I was just saying it'd be funny if he did.
I don't think that'd be funny at all.
No. I'm rooting for you.
Thank you.
Go Dodgers. Although, I got to tell you, outside of your gambling interest, which I'm all for because gambling's fantastic.
The Brewers are so fun.
Milwaukee has really kind of swept me.
They're good.
Yeah, I've got some Brew Crew fever going right now.
Very good team.
And, you know, that's saying something because I hate Ryan Braun, and quite frankly, I believe Hader is a giant racist. Despite all that, Milwaukee is a really fun team to watch, and they're easy to root for.
So Oregon got dragged back into the text message thing, that the college basketball
fraud case
with text messages today.
Yeah, and Kansas has been in the headlines, but
no one cares. So we'll tell you what that self-righteous bastard Coach K said about all this.
Well, we've already had Roy Williams, who claims that he's never talked to a shoe guy and he has no idea how AAU or recruiting works.
Well, listen,
and now we have Coach K that wants to chime in.
Yeah, this stuff is significant. I mean, Bill Self, the coach at Kansas, and Rick Pitino, the coach at Louisville, they now have text messages tying them to knowing about this. And we've long been saying, well, how much do the coaches know? Doesn't this stuff go on, you know, with the shoe companies and the agents more so than the coaches? Oh no.
Yeah. Cause originally
this is a big deal.
Yeah. Originally the testimony was the Adidas guy said that Bill Self didn't know. And everyone was like, oh, well, see, Bill Self can claim he didn't know. And then the text messages came out.
So we'll get to that next. Here's Mike.
Fan.
All right, now to the college basketball corruption scandal. And we've been talking about this a little bit because Oregon got dragged through the mud recently.
Yeah, but then they appeared to be fine because somehow the guy that was, Bowen's dad, Tugs, I believe his name was.
Tugsy.
He remembered details on every school and what they offered his son and what they gave him. But with Oregon,
great little player,
he couldn't remember. Even after being shown the transcript of what he told the FBI, he didn't jog his memory. He didn't remember.
Yeah, we thought Oregon was off the hook, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why we thought that. The trial is still ongoing.
Yeah.
So who knows what could come up next. But, the headline read, Oregon made astronomical offer. Yeah. For Brian Bowen.
But no one could remember what that offer was. That was the one offer that somehow Bowen Sr., I don't recall. And then an assistant coach allegedly gave him a couple grand, and he didn't remember that either.
Stubblefield.
Yeah, he couldn't remember.
An Oregon assistant.
He did it or didn't happen? I don't know.
It's crazy.
My mind is blurry.
Not that anybody thinks this stuff doesn't go on, but of course Dana Altman comes out and he's like, we're clean. We never have paid kids. We never will. You know, this whole thing. Coach K, I'll tell you what he said in a second, but it'll make you puke. I mean, all these coaches deny it. Most of them anyway. Rick Pitino, to this day, has denied involvement in any of this stuff.
Roy Williams doesn't even know what AAU basketball is, apparently. He's never talked to a sneaker guy in his life.
But now we're starting to get more and more evidence that these coaches are directly involved. The question was like, you know, how does it work? Is it just the shoe companies and the agents kind of circumventing the coaches, and the coaches are smart enough to stay out of it or not leave a paper trail, but know it's going on? And like, how does it all operate? Well, we're finding out more and more. The first text is, and I'm going to throw out a mic for this, but it's Kenny Johnson, who is a Louisville assistant coach, and he is texting directly to Rick Pitino regarding the recruitment of Brian Bowen.
The text from Johnson, Coach, DePaul is trying to pay Bowen $200,000 to come there. Crazy world. Oregon, DePaul, desperate times. Yep, Pitino responded, we are going to be okay.
But Pitino didn't know anything about it. Now, what does that mean, we're going to be okay? We're offering $250, so we'll be fine?
Well, and here's the key here with a lot of these. All of these things that were in this thread from Dan Wetzel on Twitter were denied from evidence. I don't really know what that means, but I'm assuming that means
they weren't allowed
into allowed into the courtroom, but that includes this text.
But they got him somehow. Wetzel and those guys dug him up anyway. One of the attorneys leaked him to
It could be hearsay, maybe, because it's, who knows? You know, there's why didn't
procedural
make it
crap.
In.
So again, no Oregon specific number here, just mentioned again.
Yeah. Well, I do enjoy that. Like $250,000 would equal an astronomical amount, in my opinion. And so the fact that you're saying DePaul offered that, and then you throw Oregon into it, one would assume that means that Oregon was in on that. But
what is DePaul doing? They suck at basketball.
They're trying to compete.
DePaul's trying to be good again.
Wouldn't that been funny?
And how are you good? You offer $250K.
Number one on the Hot 5 and 5, Brian Bowen headed to DePaul?
Well, you see this a lot.
Wonder how that happened.
We see it all the time where, like, the one of these kids will be making their national announcement, and the kid ends up at like UNLV or some like New Mexico. You're like, what? Everyone's like, where the hell did that come from? Well, what it came from apparently is a giant duffel bag full of cash.
But don't you remember Tugs saying that they chose Louisville? They denied. They turned down all the offers, including Oregon's. They went to Louisville because it was the best basketball place.
His son was not for sale.
God, these guys. Okay, so next is Bill Self.
Yeah.
And he's the coach at Kansas.
And originally, the Adidas exec said,
my guy, Bill Self.
This was like a couple days ago, maybe it was last week, that the guy that was on trial, the Adidas exec, said that, yes, he was trying to pay people to funnel people to Kansas because it was Adidas school. But he said that Bill Self was not aware of it. And so everyone was like, Bill Self's off the hook. Maybe not so much.
However, okay, so the defense presents text messages between this Gaznola guy. He's a former Adidas consultant.
Yeah.
And he testified already. He said that he paid a couple of Kansas guys, and he paid... Billy Preston was one of them, and Sylvia D'Souza, is the other. And so then the defense attorneys presented text messages between Gaznola, Bill Self, and Townsend, who is a Kansas assistant, that shows Gaznola was at the very least involved in D'Souza's recruitment. He says he paid D'Souza's guardian, Fenny, $20,000 to get D'Souza out of a pay-to-play arrangement with Maryland. So the Terps have been dragged into this.
Yes.
The text messages were shown on a screen in a New York courtroom with no recording devices allowed in the room. ESPN recapped it. August 9th of 2017, the Kansas assistant texts Gaznola and writes, Coach Self just talked to Fenny. Let me know how it goes. Okay.
Okay.
A few hours later, Gaznola texts Self, Hall of Fame, when you have 5 minutes and you're alone, call me. Later that night, after Self hadn't responded, Gaznola texted him again, I talked with Fenny. Self asks, we good? Gaznola replies, always. That S was light work. Ball is in his court now.
Yeah.
So in September, Gaznola texts Self to congratulate him on the $191 million sponsorship deal Kansas was about to sign with Adidas. Self replies, I'm happy with Adidas. Just got to get a couple of real guys. Gaznola later told Self, I've never let you down, except DeAndre, LOL.
That's DeAndre Ayton, by the way.
Who went to Arizona.
Which is a Nike school.
Yep. He said, we will get it right. And it goes on to explain that Bill Self was saying with his, he was basically telling the Adidas guys, hey, look, Nike's out there paying guys.
We need to get going.
And he specifically mentions Duke and North Carolina, the two guys who deny all this, and that's Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski. And I'll tell you what Krzyzewski said in a second. Hold on.
Yeah.
And he says, we got to keep up. They're out there paying guys. We got to get a couple of big guys here, which insinuates, hey, make it happen.
Yeah.
Right? So now we've got coaches who directly are texting these guys. I mean, what more do we need?
Exactly. He's directly texting the shoe guy, and yet he doesn't talk about specific payments. So this way Bill Self can be like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. We were just talking about landing kids. There was no talk of money. It's ridiculous. By the way, in the court today, Zion Williams got drug into it, who, by the way, is at Duke now.
And he was on Oregon's list.
He was on Oregon's list, and he got drug into it. LSU got caught offering to pay for his services. So, you know, there's another kid that ended up at Duke. But, you know, according to Coach K, no, never would go on at Duke whatsoever.
Here's what Coach K said. No, he says all of college basketball. He's just like, nah, not an issue.
No.
He says... somebody asked him, hey, are you concerned? Are you following this corruption trial? Coach K says, we haven't followed it that much, to be quite frank. I think it's minute. It's a blip. It's what's happening. I mean, it's not really.
No, it's not going on. Okay, coach.
And then Roy Williams said, I'm just dumbfounded. In 30 years as a head coach, I have never had anyone ask me for money. I never asked any shoe company to recruit for me.
What balls?
And then Krzyzewski says, when I heard Williams say that, I understand that. I'm not exposed to it. We haven't lost guys because of someone cheating. I'm not aware of any of it.
No. So you tell me two of
these are real quotes,
these are real. This is 100% real.
Plausible deniability.
So two of the best coaches at the biggest programs somehow aren't aware of the scandal that's rocking the college basketball world that has implicated like 30 programs, but it never, including Kansas, right, in Arizona, but it could never go on at North Carolina or Duke. Not could it go on there, but in 30 years, I haven't been aware of this. You think Roy was aware of the fact that his entire team was involved in a fake major at North Carolina, or was he not aware of that either?
Well, he may not have had anybody ask him for money, but...
someone asked him about that shoe money.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Jerry Tarkanian famously said, former UNLV coach said, 9 out of 10 schools are cheating, the others in last place. Look, they're all doing this.
Yeah.
So,
but now we
is
actually,
there outrage over this? I don't think so, because everybody's known that they're doing this.
But we actually have coaches now,
yes,
big name coaches that are
right,
that are tied to this,
which sort of just widens the net about how widespread it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like this is commonplace. This is how you get big time players.
Yes.
And Oregon is dabbling in this. They were dabbling in this, even though hopefully they can provide their plausible deniability till the end too. But they don't think they're not, especially
no,
when they start getting 4- and 5-star kids as often as they have these last couple of years.
Well, there's a reason why shoe companies are paying hundreds of millions of dollars to outfit certain programs, right? And if you don't think that there's an investment there on the part of the shoe companies and the university being tied to one another and getting athletes, you're fooling yourself. Stop it.
Text 55305, Better You Today, text line. Paul Allen follow-up next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Well, I'd said for quite some time, really over the last year, and piecing together how the Blazers had operated over the last 2 to 3 years, that Spidey senses were tingling that maybe Paul Allen was setting up to sell the team. And the reason I said that is because he had been the most passive he's ever been,
mm-hmm,
in regards to how he handled operations, and he wasn't quick on the trigger to fire guys when it didn't go right. And that's unlike him.
He just wasn't around as much too.
That's right. Yeah. He wasn't around. That just kind of set off some alarms. And so I wonder if now, and Paul Allen passing away yesterday, I wonder if now we can look at this and kind of piece this together and think that maybe he was far more sick than anyone knew.
Yeah.
Maybe he was getting his affairs in order. You know, it leads me to believe that because, and it's hindsight, but hindsight may be that he was tidying up the franchises for sale.
Well, we did talk about, we talked to Furness, and Furness even said that the McGowan move, moving him up to kind of run Vulcan and bumping someone up from the Seahawks to kind of put that in place, was very much viewed in that way, that This was done with the idea of, if I'm gone or if I'm incapacitated, this is who I want running this forward, and that there were plans. I mean, we don't know exactly what those are at this moment. Most people seem to think that one, namely the Blazers, or if not both, will be sold shortly. But he was putting his affairs in order. That we even Brian Berger even said this, that there has been a plan in place for the last couple years. for what happens when Paul's gone. And so you're right. Maybe this was part of the, you know, I'm getting older. Who knows what my health is? And I want to make sure that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed.
Yeah, I just have to think all of that is more than coincidence.
Yeah.
And so you wonder how sick he was and, you know,
exactly when,
how far back it goes.
Exactly. When did he find out about this? You know, and it may be that he did. He found out just a couple weeks ago and let everyone know.
Well, it's like,
or, you know, did he know about this for the last 6 months, year and a half? Is this something he's been battling and he hasn't told anyone about it? And they just went public with it because it was getting down to the final days.
So I'd been sniffing around some info on Major League Baseball to Portland and how that operation is going. And through all of those conversations with various people, there were rumblings around town that Paul Allen was preparing to sell and how that would affect, you know, MLB to Portland's efforts and this and that. And I'm still digging on, you know, some things about how that might affect, and now that he has passed away, you know, MLB to Portland. But there were some rumblings. And I wonder if those, you know, there's always like you hear these things and you don't really know, but you hear them in multiple places. And sometimes, you know, there's truth in it somewhere, right? Like it's okay, well, maybe he was preparing to sell, but it was for a totally different reason than we thought.
Yeah.
You know, but that stuff comes from somewhere. It isn't just made up. And especially if you hear it multiple times. And so I wonder if that, I was sitting there thinking today going, you know what, about all that stuff about me hearing that, you know, perhaps he was preparing to sell. And we talked about this on the air, that maybe that was him just him tidying up office. I mean, McGowan, he was working hard to get the Blazers back in the black annually. Yeah. And he did it. They are in the black, and they for many, many years operated big time in the red annually. And so if you look at that, plus, you know, it's not like he didn't pay players. I mean, he was paying, you know, he paid Myers Leonard.
What are they, the third or fourth highest paid roster in the NBA?
Paid Allen Crabbe, all the, but on the other side, so it was like this, it was like you can, and this is such hindsight, but you could go back and look at all those offseason moves. And Paul Allen's just like, hey, lock him up. It's a young team. I don't know how long I'm going to be around. Let's see if this is it.
Yeah.
And if it's not, McGowan's tidying me up on the business side. And
it'll be in good shape for when
sayonara.
I'm...
Sayonara. It'll be in good shape for when, yeah. Although good shape, I mean, I don't know if it is roster-wise in terms of the contracts.
No, but
the contracts,
from a financial standpoint,
that's right.
You know, it'll be okay.
And he didn't make a lot of moves the rest of that time.
No.
He really didn't make... He didn't, you know,
and never felt like there was any pressure on Olshay. There was never, none of that.
No, and all that's kind of set off alarm. So maybe it's all kind of crystallizing now.
It'll be interesting
what
to see
was going on
as we move into the days. And once, you know, there's a funeral and, you know, eventually they'll release a statement, I'm sure, about future plans. But it will be interesting to see if during the season, if this finds out, if we find out more about this and what were the plans, what are the plans going forward? For the team, it's weird to think about the Blazers having new ownership, right? It's a strange thing. And I don't know if we were in other market, we'd feel the same way, but doesn't it feel like Allen has is as connected to his team as any owner, maybe not name Mark Cuban. Like when you think of Cuban, that's the Dallas Mavericks, right? I mean, he is the face of that. And, you know, for a guy like Paul Allen, who wasn't the most, you know, public figure in the world, like Cuban, it's still, he just, to me, was always tied to this franchise in ways that I don't know how many owners across the NBA and sports in general are. I mean, obviously you have the Jerry Joneses of the world and the people that are so vocal out there, but I don't know, it will be weird to think about the Blazers not being owned by Paul Allen.
Very weird.
And it's one thing if it ends up staying in Vulcan, if it's just kind of a family trust thing and Jody and that company runs it and, you know, McGowan's the president but that's one thing. But if you get a whole new ownership group that comes in, that's just going to be a strange thing in the city.
Sounds like the lease over there for the team to play at the Moda Center is up in 2025.
Yeah.
And so, from what I understand, this is not shocking because the Blazers play there and they would have continued to play there, but the Vulcans were already talking to the city about extending that lease.
Yeah.
What this does now that he's passed away, I would assume a new ownership group that comes in, if a new ownership group comes in, they're going to negotiate that with the city.
Yeah.
But they're not going to buy the team without a lease.
Yeah, no one's buying
at the arena.
No one's buying a team in the next year or two when it expires in a couple seasons.
Right. They don't want that uncertainty.
No.
So Anyway, we'll do some more digging on that. A couple of texts, 55305, real quick on the college basketball scandal. The difference between college coaches and politicians is now simply that politicians don't hide their corrupt dealings anymore. Sort of feels like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's just
out in the open about it now.
We're good.
And then Deal says, hey, best part is that DeAndre Ayton went with Puma. Who saw that coming?
Yeah, kind of went off of, I guess it's not that much of an oddity because they gave him an S-ton of money, right? Like DePaul, hey, when in doubt, just offer more money than the other guy's willing to offer.
And this guy says NCAA hates this. This involves all the top schools from the tournament, which is how they make all their money. What are they going to do? Bar all the top schools from the tournament?
Dude, the NCAA ain't going to do squat about
so
this.
So true.
The NCAA is going to look the other way so hard at this.
All right, coming up next, it's time for the club. Did you know that?
I did know that.
6 o'clock. That's exciting, isn't it?
Well, you teased something.
It's okay. I'll handle it. You just sit over there and be funny.
I'm trying to think of what you teased
local
earlier
radio
because
funny
you,
man.
You intrigued me with something.
Hot Sears talk. Bro.
Yes.
We've got Hot Sears talk, okay?
About replacement shovels and whatnot.
It's 6:02 on the fan, bro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.